Okay, well, if you will, go ahead and turn over to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5, we're going to be looking specifically this morning at two verses, 11 and 12. 1 John, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. As we mentioned earlier, this being the first Sunday of Advent, and it's just a special time for us as Christians. I want to give you some facts about Advent and this wonderful celebration that we do together each and every year. Some things that maybe you know already, and maybe some things that you don't know. But Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, and it's translated from the Greek word parousia, which means, obviously, coming. Parousia, that word in the Greek, was used not only to describe Jesus' birth, his arrival as a baby, but also his second coming, which will happen eventually one day, and we look forward to that. As far as the celebration of Advent, we don't have many details about the beginnings of the celebration of Advent, but we do know there was a council that met years and years ago, back in 380 AD, called the Council of Sargasso, and they discussed this very thing. They didn't create the idea of Advent. They didn't just come up with that at this council. It's like, oh, okay, all of a sudden we're going to have Advent together. But what they did is they reaffirmed what was already being thought of and practiced in Christian circles. They reaffirmed the Christian belief that God became flesh in the form of Jesus and lived among us. They reaffirmed that, and that is one of our very foundational tenets as Christians, one of our foundational truths, that Jesus is God, that Jesus walked among us, and God lived among us in the form of Jesus Christ. And so this council reaffirmed that thought. The celebration and worship during the time of Advent became more prevalent during the 8th and 9th centuries. And Advent, as we think about it, is celebrated corporately together, as we celebrate it together as a church. And then I know of some individuals that do it as a family. And they have an Advent wreath in their house, and they do that. That's part of their Christmas traditions. And so Advent is celebrated both corporately in the church, and then privately in homes. And the specific dates of Advent change every year, but it always begins on the fourth Sunday before Christmas Day, known as Advent Sunday, and always ends on Christmas Eve. And that is when we light the final candle, the middle candle, the most important candle, the Christ candle. The white candle represents Jesus. And so Advent is the celebration of the arrival of Jesus. We're not anticipating him coming. We know he's already come. And we celebrate. That's what Christmas is all about. But it's a celebration of the arrival of Jesus. But as we think about the celebrations, we think about the arrival of Jesus, what does that mean for us as Christians? Well, there's some very important truths that we're going to read together in our passage this morning. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. This is what is promised to us because of the arrival of Jesus. Let's take a look at it together. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. I'm sorry today I don't have an outline for you. I did not have time to get to that. I promise you I'll get back on track next week. But the points are going to be pretty easy to follow, and I'll make sure, I know we have a lot of note takers, so I'll make sure you know what the points are. But let's read our scripture together, verses 11 and 12. It says, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life." And so as we read these simple scriptures, these two verses here in the book of 1 John, there are some very important truths that I want us to focus on this morning as we think about the arrival of Jesus. And number one is this: the arrival of Jesus shows us what God is really like. The arrival of Jesus shows us what God is really like. The coming of Jesus, guys, really, if you think about it, gives us a living picture of God. It shows us what God is like. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, He is the image of the, what? Invisible God. The firstborn over all creation. For by Him and all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. So Jesus is an image of the invisible God. It's so that we can see who God really is. I'm not saying God looks specifically like Jesus up in heaven. We don't know what God looks like. Nobody can really, I mean, what happened when Moses tried to look upon God? I mean, his face was shining and all that stuff. But we don't know exactly what God looks like per se, but in the person of Jesus, we can know what God is like. We can see God in that way. This is what is meant when you hear the word incarnation. Sometimes we hear that word. It means God coming to earth wrapped in a human body. And that's exactly how Jesus came. He came born of a virgin named Mary, and He walked among us. And so the God of heaven came to live and walk among us so that we could know what He is really like. And the work of Christ shows us how much God loves us. He came to teach us and die for us that we might be forgiven. He rose from the dead to help us know that He's the real deal, that He has power. That's the gospel. Jesus came, He lived a sinless life, He died, and He rose again, and He ascended to heaven. That is the gospel right there in a nutshell. And we know that one day He promises to return and take us home with Him. Now, this is stuff we already know. You say, Pastor, we already know all this. I mean, this is second nature to us. This is things we know. We focus upon it, all that. We know all this stuff pretty well. But have you ever stopped to think if God had never come in the person of Jesus? Have you ever thought what things would be like today if we did not have Jesus, if Jesus wasn't on the scene? And without Jesus, I mean, think about just stuff in the Bible. Think about some of the things that we see, the transformations of people in the Bible. Mary Magdalene, who was a close follower of Jesus, but she had a past, right? She had a difficult life before that. And if Jesus had never shown up, and without Jesus, Mary Magdalene would have died in her sins. The Samaritan woman that we read about in John chapter 4 would have never found the living water. She would have just been searching for truth, but Jesus showed her the living water. The thief on the cross would not have been with Jesus in paradise that day. Matthew, one of his disciples, would have still been a traitor to his people as he served as a tax collector. Peter and Andrew and James and John would have done nothing more with their lives than fish for a living. Simon would have been nothing but a zealot, using physical violence to overthrow the Roman government. Paul would have remained a cruel Pharisee caught up in legalism. There would be no talk of forgiveness. There would be no reconciliation unto God. There would only be laws to be obeyed. Grace would not be a word in our vocabulary. We would talk about justice and people getting what they deserve rather than finding mercy with God. And you and I wouldn't be here today, right? We would be lost and we would be broken. We'll talk more about that in a minute. There would be no healings in the Bible. The lame would have still been lame and the blind would have still been blind. There would have been nobody raised back to life. If it weren't for Jesus, if He didn't walk among us. And so the arrival of Jesus is very important in our lives. And it's almost like the story of It's a Wonderful Life. You know, we've probably all seen that, and it's one of our favorites that we watch every year. George Bailey decides that his life would be better off if he would have never been born. And so Clarence, his angel, right, shows him what life would have been like if he hadn't been born, and all these things that he did, all these impacts that he made in life would have not been there because he wasn't born. And the same is true with Jesus. Had he not been born, we would not have the impact in our lives today. And the arrival of Jesus shows us what God is like. That's number one. Number two, as we think about the arrival of Jesus, the arrival of Jesus means that we have new life and that we have forgiveness. Now, I want you to think for a minute, just in your mind, and I've talked about this before, and we've talked about some of these things in my Sunday school class, But I want you to think for a moment in your life, your very worst day, whatever that was, the worst thing that you feel like you ever did in life, the thing that just brings this burning shame to you when you think about it. This was your worst day. And then think about, after that, if Jesus had not come so that you could be forgiven, what would that be like in your life? Your guilt would be never taken away. You would live in a constant state of brokenness, never being able to get past this guilt and this shame. But here's the good news. Since the arrival of Jesus did happen, you and I are forgiven. Amen. You and I have been reconciled unto God. We have been liberated. We've been set free. And remember the discussion that Jesus had with Nicodemus? In this discussion, as Nicodemus pondered what it meant to be born again, and Jesus, remember, he spoke these powerful words. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Think about if that discussion had never happened. Think about that verse never being spoken by Jesus, understanding that we can be forgiven if we trust in Jesus Christ. Think about that. But since the arrival of Jesus, we have been forgiven. Since the arrival of Jesus, we can be called God's children. We are God's children, not because we were born, but because we've been born again. Turn back, if you will, just a couple of pages, maybe one page over, to 1 John chapter 3. Look at verses 1 and 2 there. What does John say to us there? He says, "Look at how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called," what? "God's children." And we are. The reason the world does not know us is because it didn't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. We are God's children, and we've been forgiven because of an act of grace by Jesus, making it possible by his atoning death. And because of this, we have one a relationship with him that will never end. And we know that we'll be with him forever, one day in eternity. We are God's children, not because we've been born, but because we've been born again. And without the arrival of Jesus, there would be no forgiveness and no new life. But there's one final glorious truth that I want us to talk about this morning as we think about the arrival of Jesus, and something that we can look forward to. Number three, the arrival of Jesus means that we have the hope of heaven. Amen. The arrival of Jesus means that we have the hope of heaven. Heaven was made possible by Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that I shared with Will and the other kids when some other ones came to know Christ is that when we die one day, we're all going to die, and that's not something we like to think about or ponder about, and I'm not saying we need to focus on that, but I'm saying one day when we do eventually die, or when Jesus calls us home, that we're going to be with him forever. That's what we have to look forward to. And Jesus makes that possible. The arrival of Jesus means that we have the hope of heaven. Eternity with God was made possible by Jesus. A perfect body fit for heaven, a perfect body that's fit for earth, one day we will have in Christ. But what if there was no hope of heaven? Think about that for just a minute. We've kind of been turning the table a little bit on each point here. What would happen if there was no hope of heaven? What would life be like for us as Christians? What would you say at a funeral of a loved one if they didn't know Jesus, if there was no Jesus, if he hadn't come? You know, for them and for us, there would be nothing more than closing the casket and then a cold grave to look forward to. There's no hope in that. I mean, nothing more to anticipate except the coldness of the grave. There would be no book of Revelation. There would be no hope for a Savior who will return for his glorious bride. There will be no hope of a resurrection, and we wouldn't even know what that word means without Jesus. But because Jesus did arrive, Everything has changed. That's why Jesus is full of hope. And as we talked about in Sunday school today, hope is a game changer, right? If you have hope, you can hang on. If you're watching your team and there's still time left on the clock, and, you know, there's still hope that they could pull it out. They probably won't, but there's still hope that they could pull it out. You're clinging to that last little grasp of something. But when you have no hope, there's nothing. Hope is a game changer. And so there would be no book of Revelation, no hope for a Savior who will return, no hope of resurrection. But Jesus did arrive, and all that has changed, and we live in joyful anticipation of what is yet to come. And because of the arrival of Jesus, we can sing the words to Charles Wesley's famous hymn, "Love's redeeming work is done, hallelujah. Fought the fight, the battle's won, hallelujah. Death in vain forbids him rise, hallelujah. Christ has opened paradise, hallelujah." What a glorious message. What hope-filled words those are. Because God has opened heaven up to us. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to focus on as we come into this Christmas season. Listen, I know that as we come into this time, it can be stressful. I get that. We want everything to be perfect. Okay, Thanksgiving's over and we're scrambling around trying to figure out when I'm going to put up my lights and when we're going to put up our Christmas decorations, when we're going to buy the presents for all the kids and the grandkids. I mean, I deal with that in my life. And I know we all deal with that. It's just part of it. But at some point, we got to set all that aside and really focus on what's important. If you don't get all your decorations up this year, it's going to be okay. Christmas is still going to come. And let me tell you, your family's still going to have a good time together. Because you didn't put up that one strand of lights, it's going to be all right. If your tree does not look just perfect and how you want it to be, I'm kind of, you know, particular when it comes to stuff like that. Just ask Jay about the screen up here. That's another story for another time. You can talk to him about that. But listen, it's still going to happen. So try not to focus on that. As we come into this glorious time of Christmas, this Christmas season, let's focus on what really matters, the arrival of Jesus and the promises that that brings us. Without Jesus, there would be no Christmas. Without Jesus, there would be, we wouldn't have an idea of what God looks like. Without Jesus, we would not have new life and forgiveness. Without the arrival of Jesus, we would not have the hope of heaven. So let's focus on that this year. Let's make it a point to focus on that this year. And let's enjoy every day, okay? We have a lot easier ways of getting around things today. You can go buy a lot of gifts on Amazon, and they'll come to your house usually the next day. You know, take advantage of stuff like that if you got to buy all your gifts. But listen, focus on what's important. Focus on the arrival of Jesus. Maybe today you need to take time to do that as we sing our song of commitment, to make that commitment in your heart, to do just that this year, because you want to focus on the right things. And so in just a minute, Andrew's going to come and he's going to lead us in a song of commitment, and you can make that commitment to focus on what's really important this Christmas season. Beyond that, maybe there's another decision you need to make. Maybe it's to come to know Jesus for the very first time. Say, well, Pastor, I don't really have any hope because I don't really know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, today you can know by putting your faith and trust in Him, calling out to Him and saying, Lord, I need you in my life. I'm a sinner. I believe in what you did for me on the cross through your Son, Jesus Christ, and I commit my life to you today. It's just as easy as that to make that commitment. Maybe that's the commitment you need to make today. Maybe it's to follow up in believer's baptism like Will did today. You know, Will, he was obedient in following what God wanted him to do. And today, he made his public profession of faith in Christ Jesus. Maybe you need to do that in your life. So maybe you need to become a member here. Maybe you need to surrender to ministry or missions. Whatever it is the Lord is calling you to do today, as we sing this song of praise together, maybe that's the decision you need to make today. And so I'm going to pray and lead us in prayer and ask God to begin that stirring in our hearts today. And then beyond that, whatever the decision you need to make today, I pray that you would do that, okay? Let's pray together, and then we'll sing. Father, we thank you today for this glorious message. We thank you, Father, that you are the Lord and Savior of our lives, that you sent your Son into the world to be our Savior. The arrival of Jesus brings us so much comfort and peace, gives us so many promises, and I pray that we would focus on that this Christmas season. Father, be glorified as we sing this song now. I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and that we would be quick to respond to you in faith. Father, we love you so much. We thank you and we praise you. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.